here we are with episode 49 of Sean Hammer. Today we're not going to talk much Warhammer or Warhammer 40K. We're going to be talking a bunch of Malifaux for you little Malifaux addicts like myself out there. So let's go ahead and talk about what's been going on recently since the last episode. I bought some Grey Knights. Oh boy, did I. I've been snipping and gluing different Grey Knight pieces. I'm working on a unit, my fast attack choice, right now. Also, I put together Storm Raven and a Dread Knight for the Grey Knights, I guess. I was going to call it a Dreadnought, but hey, it's not a Dreadnought. It was difficult, a little difficult to put that one together. I'm sure, still not sure about how it looks. The base is the same size as the flying base. I don't know how I feel about that. I still think it can fit on Dreadnought base. And we'll see. I'll scene it up, and after get it all painted, we'll see how she goes. I'm only going to run one of those in my army. Storm Raven took some bit to put together, but you know what? I like the model after seeing it and having it in my hands and pretend flying it around my house and stuff. So that's what I've been doing in Warhammer and Warhammer 40K. Haven't played any games. Haven't even played any HeroClix. Life's been taking me on a roundabout ride. Different obligations and stuff to go through with. So on that note, I'd like to say happy birthday to Miranda, my daughter, who just recently turned 13. Happy birthday, Miranda. Been in contact with a couple different podcasts. Got hold of Bill from Gamers Lounge. He's looking at coming on. We'll talk some podcast stuff, as he calls it, Garage Cast or Ghetto Cast. That's what he calls it, Ghetto Cast. He just got back from Adepticon and such. Also going to get together with the guys from the Ethervox. They are a Malifaux-centric podcast. I think they put out once a month, and they're going to show up on Sean Hammer, and basically we're just going to talk random Malifaux. You know, I mean, there's nothing better than a couple guys talking about something that, you know, interests us and, you know, other people. I also have Graham McNeil coming back on the show. He wants to come back and talk some stuff about his arcane horror and such. So that will be interesting. So if anyone's got any questions they want to throw out for Graham McNeil, just go ahead and send them out. And I'm also going to put out anyone who's got access to the silencer pieces for the regular Grey Knights, not the Terminators, and they're not going to use them. If you want to get rid of them, I'll take them. All right, that's my pathetic little plea. And what else have I done? Let's see. I saw Sucker Punch a couple weeks ago. Entertaining movie. I wasn't sure how I liked it when I saw it. I mean, it's visually pleasing. A lot of special effects and cool battles and such, and the music was pretty sweet. Ended up liking it more and more, and I thought to myself, well, I listened to guys from Etherbox talk about movies and music and stuff that inspired them with Malifaux, and I'm going to say, this movie, Sucker Punch, inspired me to think a little bit Malifaux, and I dug it. I thought it was pretty cool. I also got my crew a Malifaux painted by Mike at the Painted Apothecary, and I will go ahead. He's already linked on the side of my website. It's the little medical symbol with the brush and wings. He painted my Cry crew, and I am so happy with him. Actually, I paint pretty good myself. I just don't want to paint him. I want to give Mike a try so I could plug his painting service and everything. So if you have anything that you don't have time to paint, you don't want to paint, or you can't paint, check out Mike at the Painting Apothecary. He's got some great prices. It's not too shabby. He's great delivery time and communication is really good. And, yeah, I mean, the paint jobs will speak for themselves. I mean, The pictures I have on my Flickr site right now, they're not as cool as they are in person. The pictures don't do them justice. I took another picture. I'll probably put them on the show notes today. I also got the Malifaux for the Malifaux rules manual, as I'm done speaking stupid. And I'll go over that in a little bit as well. Pretty nifty. Let's see, what else? Got a steal on, picked up Lilith, her crew. Got them assembled. I got this thing. I'm doing my Niflheim in red. And I dig him. I dig the red color. So I go with how I'm cheating my little small unit of Blood Angels I start painting. And I primered them white. And I end up just putting three coats of Bell Red on them over top of the white primer. Then I, on that third coat, I actually splashed in a little bit of Devlin Mud in that green wash that Games Workshop puts out. After that dried, I put another coat of Bell Red, then a little bit of the old Games Workshop red ink with it, and I brought it to a nice red color. Does all the shadings, doesn't kill any of your details as long as you don't let it pool too thickly in areas. And I'll try to get pictures of those up so you can see exactly how that started out. I don't know what I'm doing with bases yet. I'm going to try and get a hold of guys or girls from Fiendish Fabrications. I guess they sell some nice bases. Painted my Dreamer. Got him on a base I not converted but made fit with some alien bases, but they look like fleshy bases from Mr. Dandy. I'm painting my Stitch Togethers, working on Colopius or whatever the hell his name is. My wife painted the Dreamer, so I have another crew set there, at least box crews. And that's about basically all I've been doing so far. Been doing a lot of not playing the hobby in any sorts, but at least putting it together and getting ready to play and enjoying myself while doing it. So, today's episode, what we'll be going over is we're going to go over the Resurrectionists. Three masters and their cohorts, exactly, is what I would say. We're going to go over Karaya, because that's my Resurrectionist group. We're going to go over McMorning and a little bit of Seamus. Okay, now these aren't generally all my ideas on my own. I got a couple feedback from different people that wanted to contribute a little something to the show. So, I'll go ahead and, let's see, go through these. So, let's go ahead and, let's start with, McMorning. I didn't really figure I liked McMorning too much. He's your simple mad scientist guy. He works in a morgue's assistant. I mean, he works as in the morgue for the guild. And I wasn't really sure. I picked up the Karaya and how she works with her summoning Gaki and her little other spirits. Got me looking deeper into the Resurrection side of the Malifaux book. Another thing, too, is if you go on to FRPGames.com. I don't know where else you can find these pictures. I'm probably sure you can find them out there. They have the morgue bases for Malifaux. I don't really know 100% how I'm going to like McMorning and his crew, but with those morgue bases, it's freaking win, man. Freaking win. Okay, well, let's go on to McMorning. Basically, looks like he's really good in melee. You know, as far as Resurrectionists go. If you try and put him up against a Basher like Lilith or Justice, like you put anybody up against those two, you're probably going to die quickly. Usually just going through, I haven't tried them yet. This is just, in my mind, I do a lot of thinking, especially at work and stuff. Try to hold back with them for a couple turns. After that, you can let his minions weaken up and tie up the position while he cranks out a few flesh constructs. And that's what's pretty nice about him is this whole flesh and body part thing, especially when you pick McMorning, you're going to have to order his Chihuahua because his Chihuahua can actually get a little bit more. Let's see what I'm looking through. Okay, sorry about that. I had to take that call. Now, going through what best fits with McMorning is we have McMorning, the canine remains, you have your Chihuahua, which, who doesn't want an undead Chihuahua, really. You have the nurses, which, they're pretty cool. They work for a lot of different things, and I'll give you a little hint. I won't give you a hint, but I'll give you a site that talks a little bit about it, that brings something neat for the nurses in. Let's see. Zombies, they usually force appointment to deal with the dogs first, you know, when you got them all in. Let's see, the bells are fun, but they're more towards the Seamus side of stuff. When you play McMorning list, you can pretty get, you can get aggressive if you want, but, let's see, but basically what I would do is, like I said, I'm no expert at this, but just going through the list, I want to talk a little bit about McMorning because he was on my mind. I see a lot of casting potential with all the body parts and stuff. You know, you can keep on summoning stuff, and, you know, it looks pretty cool, and if you want to play with some nurses, scantily clad nurses, you can play with them. It's a good feel of an army or a crew, especially, you know, in this time period of what we're talking about here. And I'm going to say, with those new bases coming up by Weird, they're pretty good idea. Let's see, Mortimer, the guy I think was Shovel. Nope, yeah, I think so. He's a good choice you can use too, because Exhum can now be cheated, and it can get you corpses that, you know, that become two body parts. And Sybil's a good choice as well, since she can't be here, and she heals herself. I mean, there's a lot of different things you can do with McMorning, and that was probably just an epic fail, if you think it was. Spare my feelings, folks. Let's see, Seamus, he's one I thought I was going to start playing. I mean, Seamus, you know, you got this Mad Hatter, Jack the Ripper style, you know, type character. I didn't know how I felt about him at first. I thought he kind of looked goofy, to tell you the truth, but putting them together, reading some of the stories in the Malifaux books, with the undead prostitutes, Sybil, and pretty much how much of a douche really Seamus is, it's it's really come into a put a little bit more flavor into him, so to speak. With the Rising Powers book, you have the I can't pronounce her name, but her sidekick, which will be his henchman. She's the deranged girl that he kicks around and shit like that, so that'd be pretty cool. As far as they go, I thought this would be neat because, like I said, the undead hookers are a neat aspect of the games. Everyone shoots them around as a coolness factor. That and Teddy as well. He's got his flintlock pistol. It's pretty damaging. Pretty solid weapon. He can't do it but once a turn. But you can also take the copycat killer who has the flintlock 5-0 or whatever it's called too. And that allows you a second shot. He's got some poison counters that you can throw out. Nice solid looking little look for a resurrectionist army. Gives you the whole Victorian feel. The Jack the Ripper, you know, you got your undead harlots. And when I was going to do it, I was going to run Sybil. But I was going to pick up Betty Noor. Because I thought she would fall a little bit more into it. Like I said, these were just ideas I had at first. Then, I'm not going to go into Nicoderm or Nicodemus or whatever the hell his name is. I've played Undead in Warhammer for so many years, and I don't want to just have an Undertaker who summons skeletons and zombies. I was just like, I've been there, done that. But I just so happened to be on eBay one day. And, picked up, actually by accident, I went to go watch an item, and I actually bought it. I bought Karayu's box set. And it came in the mail, and I got a hold of, I heard some other podcasts talking about Mike from the Painting Apothecary, painting service. So I was just like, you know, I'm going to give this guy a try. So I let him know, he got a hold of me, I shipped him off to him and everything like that. Good communication, came up with some great, the bases look nice. When he sent me the pictures at first, I thought they were potato chips, but he painted them up look really nice. So, I got him to paint this group. Now, pictures started coming to me, and, the actual images, you know, of my crew being painted, I thought to myself, well, shit, Sean, you should really just doing some research and start actually reading the cards. I had the cards as it was, except for Datsu Bay or whatever her name is. That one was missing from my pack, and Z got a hold of me from Weird Games. I had to send him pictures, and it was a little bit pain in the ass to get my card back. But, you know, in the end, I got it. But I started looking, and I was just like, well, okay. After doing some reading, she's not your normal Rezzer. She doesn't care about corpse counters, rather only living or undead things around her, and that they are dying. So let's go ahead. I mean, she doesn't count on corpse counters, but things that are living or undead that die around her. So objects and demons? I think demons count too. Objects and stuff like that, they don't really add to her, benefit her in any way. Let's see, you will have a difficult time against crews that don't contain living or undead things. Tougher matchups are going to be like, who is that one guy? The new guy from the book, Hoffman, and the other guy, Ramos, Rasputina, my wife's group, when she uses all the ice constructs, Dreamer with Lord and Chompy Bits, anything with nightmares and stuff, it's gonna be rough, just so you're not gonna work too well on her. Let's see, as I'm reading, I'm looking and it's like, what's the best way to use Karai in her group? First of all, this master and all of her ghosts can move around. And she's a very zippy master that can basically, I'm gonna teleport around here and there. All of them got a pretty okay walk. A couple models can create extra walks, and Karai being able to warp back on different spirits here and forth, it gives her quite a bit of movement potential. I can see myself using Karai at the edge of combats and have the spirits of melee combats and have them swap out in the back. Summoning is one of her greatest strengths. Like I said, she doesn't depend on corpse counters, but she can summon her spirits out of thin air and stuff like that. Especially with the one where she can summon Ikiru. This is a force spirit of herself. She can evolve spirits. She can summon a lot of stuff, and it's pretty easy to do. So this is this is her strength. She's not really strong herself, but, you know, she's got a lot of casting potential. She can escape sticky situations, but like I said, by warping around and stuff. Also, the nicest thing is she comes with these little, like, dragon water things called Seishun. You keep them in base-to-base contact with her. And, you can redirect all the attacks to them. And what's pretty cool is, if I'm wrong, someone let me know, she's got ability that when a friendly spirit dies, she can summon one of these. So, I mean, keeping these in base-to-base contact with her is, in my mind, why I think it's going to be a major sticking point to my strategy. Let's see. Like I said, she's impossible to kill when there's a swarm of Shinsen around her. But she when she starts to take a lot of damage, it gets pretty rough for her. Also, I think, yep, when you do damage against her with a ranged attack, you take wounds as well, so that's pretty cool too. One thing that I do find when I'm looking through the book right now, one of her weaknesses when she does summon stuff, it costs her wounds as well. So, you know, if you summon too much, of course, you're going to be bringing yourself down a little bit more, and you might as well just go ahead and say, here you go, buddy, here's the game for you, you know, Jason, or whoever you're playing, you know. Let's see. Go through for a bit. Who's in Karai's crew? We have Ikiro. She is Kira's angry spirit. She's a summoned unit, and she'd be summoned easily on a flip of a 4. And can be summoned to a distance of 4 inches if you, 12 inches if you choose. You can use her kind of assassin type. She gets summoned deep in enemy lines. She can attempt to kill things quickly. And she can be summoned over and over again. She has decent combat stats, it looks like. And she should be trying to kill something as much as possible, in my opinion. And then she's kind of a spooky model, too. I mean, it's pretty cool. I used to play Clan Wars, and Karai's group reminded me of a little bit of that. So, well, anyway, I'm sorry. Lost Love, I haven't picked this guy up. I have been looking at him on eBay, but I'm just probably going to have to buy him off of one of these websites because he's looking like he's just going to cost me so much. I'm gonna field this guy. There's no reason not to. He makes Karaya be able to resurrect. I know he's not too expensive and he's good. And he gives you a healing spell. He gets this Sue Spirit, which is a healing spell. So as for totems, I mean this guy definitely a lot of synergy there. One of the weirdest models I got in the box was Detsube. She's 7 soul stones. She's got good melee. And she can attack everyone within 2 inches. And she's also a secondary summoner, which is pretty cool, too. Because Wei Sin's, that's going to be the ability you want to use. You can hold her back, you know, wait for something to get low on wounds and go in and kill it and summon a Gaki or, you know, on one of those Unryo, I don't know. So she's pretty cool. I like her a lot. I think it's gonna make she's gonna be my my main combat monster in the group. Unryo, these are your standard grunts for the Kira group. And they look pretty nice. They're floating. I think they're female spirits with white masks, but they're pretty cool. They got decent melee, they got a couple of triggers for damage, and, they can, force opponents to defend with their defense or their weapon, or willpower. Let's see, involving something, force guard, take wounds, get like a testing trigger, come over Reser, and that's about it. You got your Gaki. These are kind of weird, I didn't get none in a box. They're 3 stones, but you can summon these with Detsube as well. They're pretty, they don't have a lot of wounds, and they're dependable melee. Let's see. They can eat corpse counters, so I guess if you're fighting them against another resurrectionist, it'll be good. If you get a swarm of them and hit your triggers, you know, things die pretty good. You could hire a lot of them, but I don't know. Like I said, I usually play with as much as I can out of the box I pick up first, so who knows. We got the little dragon guys, the Session. These guys are, without a doubt, the most important figure in the Karaya group, at least keeping Karaya alive. They sacrifice themselves to save your more powerful spirits. They can instantly warp Kira around. Any model finishes activation. I mean, they're pretty decent. I mean, like these, I'm actually upset that the box only came with one and how important these are. You have your Bat Lady, Shikomi. I don't know. One of the spells you can summon her if you lose wounds, but I don't see myself using one of these unless, you know, I was giving it right now, unless I just wanted something more to have. So I'm not sure. Let's see. That's about it for Karaya. And this is the Resurrectionist group I am going with. So, you can see my painted figures on my Flickr photo stream, and I also post them on the website as well. I'll probably go through a little bit when I finish this up tomorrow and try and hit anything that I missed as best as I could right now. But I just want to tell you guys about the little thoughts in my head, talking a little bit about, you know, the Resurrectionist. Anyone wants to be part, you can show up on Sean Hammer and we'll have a little talk via Skype, and you'd be on the show if you want. You send me an email at seanhammer9@yahoo.com. Give me your thoughts. I'll go ahead and read them off air and I'll give you a little shout out. No problem there. And we'll take a moment break. I think we're going to do a commercial block and a musical intermission. And we'll get back and we'll cover my thoughts of the Weird's Malifaux rulebook. Alright, see you in a minute.
Cool City Games, Blue Water's most complete source for miniature wargaming and sports cards. Cool City Games offers a safe and friendly environment with free open gaming and up-to-date new releases, restocks, and hassle-free special orders. You can even put stuff in layaway. Cool City Games even offers box and case pricing on cards and collectible miniatures. Located in downtown Port Huron, that is in Michigan for all you out-of-towners, Jeff and Mike are available and ready to serve all your hobby needs. Stop by at 724 Huron Avenue or visit on the web at www.coolcitygames.com.
Hey, I'm Luke.
And I'm JJ.
And we're the guys from World's End Radio. When we're not playing games
or lying to our wives about it,
then we're going to the ends of the earth to bring you the latest content on all aspects of the Games Workshop hobby.
And a few other worlds besides.
So come find us at www.worldsendradio.com.
Or subscribe to the show through iTunes.
Of guest host at the imperialtruth.blogspot.com.
Well, okay, and that was a word from Cool City Games, one from imperialtruthblogspot.com, and also Worlds on Radio. Not the great podcast that covers numerous Games Workshop material, as well as War Machines and Malifaux. So before I get on to what else came in the mail for me in the last couple weeks, I forgot to put why play the Resurrectionist, and a little bit about them. Now, the Resurrectionists, they're not as easy to get as I would say is the Guild, and they definitely have a little bit of tweaking you gotta do in style play. The Guild's pretty straightforward. As I said a couple episodes ago, you have your magic, you got your shooting, you got your hand-to-hand. That's pretty much what the Guild go at. And the Resurrectionists, basically, a lot of their stuff is based around, I wouldn't say trickery, but there's a lot of summoning. Summoning using the body count, body part counters, killing models, such as in Karaya, Karai's group, and them coming to life and summoning spirits. So this is more, Resurrectionist is playing out a necromantic type style play. As if you played Warhammer Fantasy, you know, you got your undead, your vampires summoning stuff and everything. And that's the main strength of your army is the magic. Well, same with the Resurrectionist. They do a lot of summoning the the zombies and the bells and spirits and stuff like that. So definitely the style of play is a summoning mood. Most of the masters aren't as beefy as the Guild per se, but they definitely do have their distinct advantages and weaknesses. So to play the Resurrectionist is definitely a style of play that not everyone's going to like. Some people definitely will, some people may not. A lot of times I say when you want to play something, go with the way it looks to you. Then develop the style of play. Because I like to have fun when I play games, and if you get a style of play of a group, that doesn't match the appearance in your mind, you're not going to really enjoy it too much. So, like I said, I was lollygagging around, so to speak, when I was coming to the Resurrectionist. I didn't know if I really wanted to play with these guys, but got the Karaya group, and Mike from the Painting Apothecary, he painted them up, and while I'm hooked, and I definitely want to play this group as Resurrectionist. So that's going to cover the Resurs for right now. I'll cover more. If anyone, like I said, anyone can throw a helping hand in there, we'll talk some more, and we'll go about it. But let's go on to the Malifaux Rules Manual. Now, the Rules Manual just isn't another type of book just to suck out some money out of your pocket. Generally speaking, it's not that expensive of a book. It's $15. You get all the full rules. You get the different charts, the combat total modifying chart, everything. And it's full color. It's weighing in at 124 pages. Sturdy little book. It is soft cover. It's the size of one of the Games Workshop small rule books from either 40K or Fantasy. It's got all the errata and FAQ over the last two editions of the rules itself. So it's updated So it's basically just a clarification with a little bit of a rule book. I mean, with a lot of rule book put into it. It's got some neat pictures, diagrams for everything. Diagrams are shown using little circles with the puppet figures in each one. And it goes through and showing you all sorts of stuff. The book itself is also tabbed, where you can kind of like bend the cover a little bit and see different tabs on the side that represent different things in the book, such as the first tab is red, that's your intro, green, next, the basics, purple, the fate deck, purple again, or lighter purple, where is the blue? I am colorblind, people, so forgive me. The game, we got gold, we got combat, we show up with red again, we got magic. Small little green section after that. Morale. Purple or blue again, train. Encounters in purple again. And so, I mean, it's really cool. It's got a nice index. Simple rules manual. Rules book. You don't have to really worry about flipping through all the different fluff back and forth trying to find the different, all the different rules you need in a book. It's all right here. Quite literally, you could play Malifaux with under $100 easily by buying a fate deck, the rules manual, and a crew with some extra models. So it's a nice addition to the gamer's idea of a game. You know, you want to get into it. The book's not hefty and weighty as the other ones, and everything's all right there. I mean, it's got the whole basics of the game. It goes over, like I said, it describes the fate deck, the game, the combat, magic, encounters. It's got all the encounters in here. I don't know. I don't think it's got the schemes, but I could be wrong. So let's go to index and see if we have the schemes. Anyway, yeah, so it's a nice little book. It's got schemes, announcing schemes, the different types. It's got all the schemes in it. So, as for my opinion of the Malifaux Rules Manual, it is a win. Definitely good. Good job, guys. I mean, simple as that. I know a lot of work talk from with Eric about the Rules Manual. A lot of work went into this. And, looking forward to it, trying to increase the Malifaux group around in Port Huron, St. Clair area, Michigan. So, if you're interested in a game and you want to say, Sean, I want to play you in some Malifaux, you just give me a ring. So, that's probably going to end it up for today. Next, I don't know, we'll probably do Anarchist next, because I picked up the Colette box and my wife has the Rasputina. So next time I do a Malifaux cast, it will be about, you know, that. I'm probably going to, I know I have Bill from the Gamers Lounge coming on. I know he is a, what they call a henchman for the Weird Miniatures. That's a, it's kind of like your, I don't know, was it? It wasn't Rough Riders. Outriders for the Games Workshop. They explain and teach people how to play the game. So maybe we'll get him in here for a in-depth discussion about the actual play of Malifaux itself. Like I said, I'm going to have the guys from the Ethervox on. We're going to be talking some Malifaux. So if you got any questions you want to ask them, me, or have us discuss on the show, you go ahead and just send those in. Let's see. Next up, I also have Graham McNeil coming on. So questions for Graham McNeil. Go ahead and send those to Sean Hammer, the number 9, at yahoo.com. I'll make sure those get asked, and we'll have ourselves another nicer interview with Graham McNeil. I know next up, we definitely have Tomb Kings coming up for you Warhammer Fantasy players. So look forward to that. You can check out the advanced order pictures online. And, damn you. Damn you, Games Workshop. I mean, they've been putting out some really quality models lately. And the Tomb Kings are no exception. The Necro Sphinx and the Tomb Guardians, as well as, I don't know what to call it, the Snake Riding guys, are just brilliant. So, I'm going to leave you with that for this week. And, let me know. Hopefully I didn't disappoint anyone. And, I promise, some good Army Tactics. Let's see. The Aethervox has a show where they got a guy talking about Zoraida. And pretty informative, using the Neverborn. So I don't know if I'm going to cover that in any show, because the guy that did that is did a really good job. And Bill in the Gamers Lounge, he had a great Dreamer cast. Talk about the Dreamer, Lord Chompy Bits. So I'll go ahead and put those on the site, what episodes to check out and stuff. And I'm going to leave you with a little bit more Emily Autumn. And until next time, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game.